Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have David Scholand. He is a licensed clinical social worker with Riverside University Health System Behavioral Health. Thank you for joining me today, David. Appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I'm glad to be here.
Now, with a rash of celebrity suicides in the news lately, we're going to be talking about suicide prevention. So, David, what is the greatest misconception people have about suicide?
You know, I think there are a lot of myths and misconceptions about suicide, but two that come to mind. One would be that suicide happens without warning or that it's due to one dramatic event. We know that folks tend to show us signs that they are thinking about ending their lives, and sometimes they don't do that directly. They're kind of a little bit more obscured, but that they're there. And that it's usually not one dramatic event, that it isn't just one thing, that suicide can be complicated and that it can be multiple variables.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's been a rash of celebrity suicides in the news. Now, is that kind of glamorizing suicides? What's your take on that?
I think it really depends on how it's reported. Sometimes it can bring awareness and more public discussion around suicide and mental health in general. And other times it's reported very kind of dramatically. It's reported in a way that sensationalizes the person's death. And in that way, it can bring attention. And we know that some folks will do kind of copycat behaviors, or they will want that same kind of emulation and will follow suit.
If I happen to be concerned that someone is at risk for suicide, is it okay to ask them that question?
Yes. It's not only okay to ask, but sometimes it will be necessary to ask. Another myth about asking is that asking somebody about suicide will give them the idea, and that's just not true. Many people struggle with seeking help, and if someone asks them, if they're having thoughts to end their life, it often opens the door to that invitation to have that discussion and to seek help. It can be really hard to talk about suicide. So that invitation may be the only time that somebody is willing to have that discussion.
Now, why does someone who is suicidal, why don't they just reach out and ask for help themselves?
You know, depression can be very deceiving. It's like wearing sunglasses indoors. Everything is darker than it appears. Everything is seen through that dark lens. And the very darkness that leads that person to feeling that hopeless is the same that convinces them that they're worthless and a burden, and they really don't want to burden anyone. It's kind of vulnerable to seek help, especially around suicide. They're worried people are going to judge them. There's a lot of stigma and shame. They can feel weak or like they failed. And these are legitimate obstacles that people need to face that can be overwhelming and fatiguing. And sometimes it's about resources. They just don't know where to go or what those options are. They fear that they're going to be locked up or hospitalized. And there are a lot of different paths now to help people that don't have to do with hospitalization. We even have crisis stabilization units or mental health urgent cares in each region of the county now, where people can meet other folks who have lived experience around mental health and depression and can get the help that they need before things get really, really bad.
It seems like depression is one of the signs or symptoms of suicide, but why do people get depressed?
Well, depression can be as a result of multiple things. I think we need to kind of break human experience down into different levels to be able to consider that. Some people may have a biological predisposition to depression, and so they're going to struggle a little bit more regardless of their life path. Other folks are dealing with multiple stressors or losses, and they just feel hopeless regarding trying to figure out what those solutions need to look to. And other times, folks have really experienced some large crises, or they're dealing with other problems in their life, like physical health problems or substance abuse problems, and all those things begin to compound to a place where it feels like there isn't any other answer.
Hey, why is it so hard for someone with depression to just kind of pick themselves up by their bootstraps and move on?
Well, you know, I think we all have different degrees of resilience. And one size just doesn't fit all. Just like we all have different levels of physical fitness or athleticism, we also have different emotional muscles too. We all have therapeutic needs, whether we see a therapist or not, and we get those needs met in different ways. Some of us do that through our relationships, some through our spiritual life, through art and hobbies, through activity and purposeful events in our life. Just like some people who need a coach on the football field or a personal trainer in the gym, some people just need help to grow those internal muscles to get them through challenging times. I think it's too easy to think of a person who's suicidal as weak, when often it's not a matter of pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, that they feel that they have pulled themselves up by the bootstraps so many times now that those straps are broken. Sometimes so much it feels like they need a new pair of shoes.
How can we help the person who tells us that they are suicidal?
Well, I think the first thing to consider is to manage your own anxiety. Suicide is a very scary thing to talk about, and sometimes we let the anxiety make our decisions for us. This can lead us to tell somebody not to think that way or just to try to cheer them up. And these are usually ways to just end the conversation because we're feeling a little bit too anxious about it. But what that person really wants and needs is someone to listen, to attend to them, to understand. And if you don't really know where to begin, if somebody brings something up, then I say just start with the facts. I usually start with how long have you been feeling that way, what happened, what have you been going through. And that usually opens somebody up to just begin talking about their experience. Once that connection's been made, then it's a matter of helping them get the help that they need. So connecting them to a mental health professional or calling a helpline. It can be good to stay with that person, to go with them to their first appointment so they don't have to feel so alone in the process. And if through all of that the person isn't willing to seek help voluntarily, then it's okay to call 911 if you still see them at risk.
And what does an individual do if they have thoughts of suicide?
Well, again, I think it goes back to that internal place. The first thing is to not judge yourself. Your self-talk is probably already too critical, and you don't need one more thing to beat yourself up about. To offer yourself some of the same compassion that you would if a loved one was going through the same problem. Recognize that a lot of people have thoughts that they never act on. It doesn't mean that you're weak or crazy. It often means that you're overwhelmed and having a hard time seeing a solution through all the stressors and problems that you're experiencing. So the first step after that is to tell someone. It's okay to seek help. Sometimes you may need help to seek help. Talk to a trusted friend or a family member, clergy, a teacher or school counselor, doctor or nurse. Some insurance providers even have their own care coordinators that can help link somebody to care. In Riverside, we have a helpline. It's called the Helpline. It's 951-686-HELP. And there's also national suicide hotlines. Some are just for vets, some are for youth, some are for LGBTQ folks. So there's portals that people can receive that kind of care. It's just important to start to talk to somebody.
Okay, now someone goes into counseling, say they come to the medical center and they get counseling. What's the process that you take them through?
Well, again, it probably could depend on which portal they go through, which meaning an access point to be able to get care. But essentially what they'll usually do is talk to somebody that will try to get a better understanding of their problem to kind of see where is the best care provider for them. Some folks need kind of more booster support just to be able to kind of get themselves through. Others need more acute care. So it really kind of depends on the nature of the problem and how the person is experiencing it. Somebody should be able to walk them through what the next steps are. Once they meet a counselor, they're going to have what's called an intake assessment, which means that somebody's going to ask a lot more about their history, their development, and what the current issues are that are bringing them into care. After that, they get a care plan, a mutually agreed upon course of action in terms of what we're going to do to try to get things better.
And where can we get more information about depression and suicide prevention?
Well, I think a one-stop shop would be the Riverside University Health System Behavioral Health website. And that's www.rcdmh.org. And there are links on that page to crisis resources, as well as other outpatient services that can be accessed.
And give us that phone number once again for the helpline.
That is 951-686-HELP. So 686-HELP.
Okay, before we close, is there anything you'd like to add that you think we should know about suicide prevention?
I think it's just really important to pay attention to the ones that we love and the people that are in our lives, to notice the differences in their thoughts or feelings or behavior that can give you concern. You know, today's world is often very electronic as well, so it might not be in person, but you'll see maybe some concerning Facebook posts or other social media posts. And to kind of, if you start having that gut feeling that you're concerned, you start noticing changes in somebody's behavior, especially if they're doing things that would fuel into what it would mean to be suicidal. So they're looking for means, maybe putting on their search engine, looking for ways of being able to end their life or to be able to plan for their death or to give things away. It's really time to be concerned and to be able to feel comfortable and stepping up to somebody and inquire if they're having thoughts to end their life.
Okay, David Scholand, licensed clinical social worker with Riverside University Health System Behavioral Health. Thank you for joining me today, David. Lots of great information.
I'm glad I could help.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.